Good morning.
Good morning.
It is time. Allison is back with us, and she's taking the kids down for children's worship. So if you have children that would like to go down and participate in that, or someone who wants to help out, they're more than welcome. I don't want to call anybody out, but Cammie, if you want to go with Abby, you can. So we're starting a new series today. We're going to be taking the next 2 months and looking at, so what are we going to call it? The Lord's Prayer? The Model Prayer? We're looking at Matthew 6 for the next 2 months, excluding our Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're looking at the prayer that Jesus shares with his disciples. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 9 says, "This then is how you should pray." So that's the first thing that we need to realize is this is not a rote, memorized prayer. This is not something that we're just going to stick in our back pocket and have there anytime we need it. We can do that. There's nothing wrong with having that there. There's nothing wrong for that to be a way for you to center yourself, to find a calm place. But that's not what Jesus is giving us in this lesson. It's a model. It's something that we can go to and look at and see, okay, what are the parts and pieces that I need for this? It's like looking at a Yugo. Anybody remember what those were? Okay. And knowing that the parts for the engine and the parts for the car are all there, but it looks a lot different than a Maserati. In fact, a Yugo looks a lot different than pretty much any engine that you look at today, because I can't work on any of them. So this prayer is just something that allows us to say, okay, these are some good parts. This is a good framework for me to look at so that I can, if I don't know what to pray, if I don't know what to bring to God, this is something for me to look at and go, okay, I can do this. And as we go through this, we're going to go really slowly, and we're going to look and see what each of those parts is. So the beginning is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The first part of prayer is for us to surrender. We're going to surrender ourselves to our Father in heaven. What is heaven? If we look at it scripturally, there's at least three definitions that we can give to it. It's the air and the space around us. It's outer space. And then it's that above and beyond physical realms where God exists. God exists in all three of those. But heaven is everywhere and everything, really. So when we talk about God in heaven, we're talking about God with us as well. But we're submitting ourselves to him. We submit it to him by elevating him above all the other gods that we have that fight for our attention. Who knows what started at 8:30 this morning? 8:30 Central Time, later in the day in Frankfurt, Germany today. The Chiefs and Miami Dolphins game started. There's a God for some people, our football teams, our sports, our studies, all those things that we are concerned with in our lives. When we come to God in prayer, it's a time for us to set all of that aside. It's time for us to put all of that world away. We give ourselves over to the Father of Jesus and acknowledge him as our Father as well. and we give up our, something that we as Americans don't like to give up, our independence. And we assume responsibility to the family of God, to His family. We surrender to heaven and the spiritual world, and we surrender to God's name. First thought is that our Father, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you are the life giver. Thank you, God, that you are the one who calls things into existence. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into your family, for making us members of this household. Thank you that we aren't alone, that this is a family. When we say our Father, when Jesus uses that phrase, it's acknowledgement of who God is, what He's done, and what He has made us a part of. When you look through this, coming to Him with respect and reverence is first and foremost. In heaven, well, we think of heaven and we think of God's throne. We think of the throne room where God resides, where He's worshiped continuously. While He is our Father, and that means we can come to Him just like my kids come to me boldly sometimes, asking for things, wanting things, expecting things. We can come to God boldly because He is our Father. But at the same time, we have to come to Him with respect and reverence because He is in heaven. He is our Creator. The heavens declare God's power. They show us. I mean, when you look at a sky, whether you're in Nebraska looking at a sunrise or a sunset, and the amazing colors that I've seen very few other places, or you're here doing the same thing, going to Cave Point in Door County and seeing the colors and the way that the waves come into the coves, spending time at Fall Hall Glen watching Robinson Creek meander through camp, and the changes in color that happen there, all of that shows God's power, His creative ability, and His love for us. Hallowed be your name. What hallowed? That's holy. Yeah. Holy be your name. Treat it as holy. To be seen as holy, to be different from all other things. All those other gods that vie for our attention, this God that we're praying to is different than all of them. Give praise and glorify Him. Adore Him because He is different. All the things that take our time, all the things that we're concerned with that maybe make us better people, that we devote all of that energy to, none of them bring us into a right relationship with the Creator of the world. None of them have the ability to draw us to Him the way that He does. And so as we pray, hallowed be your name, we acknowledge that He alone is God. He alone is capable of being God. Nothing else that we can put in our lives and try and fill that hole with is going to satisfy us. Nothing else is going to complete us the way that he does. And so when we think about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, that prayer, that beginning of the prayer, is an introduction to who God is. It's an introduction to who we are in his presence. And it's an introduction of what we mean to him. Now, we're going to continue to go through this prayer for the next 2 months, like I said. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I know that as I was growing up, when I was with my grandparents, I heard that prayer every time that we sat down to eat a meal. Every time. I knew exactly what my grandfather was going to pray, and I could say it with him word for word. I don't think in the entire time that I knew my grandfather that I ever heard a different prayer cross his lips. It's like God has given us a vocabulary. He's given us a paint set. We may not all be artists. We can use the paint by numbers and recite just the prayer that Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Or we can take those things that God has gifted us with and we can paint what is in our hearts for God with our prayer. Now that is what I think we're called to do when we go into our rooms, close ourselves away, and open ourselves up to God. That's when we're supposed to be artists and use every flourish that we can as we pray to him. Now, when I come up here, if I'm praying here, yeah, I want to be articulate. I want to share in a way that is meaningful to myself and to you because I'm offering the prayer on your behalf as well. That's the reason that we say amen. But that's not the time for me to use my best, highest vocabulary. That's not the time for me to just be flowery in all of my speech. That's the time for me to lay out who we believe God is, why we're grateful to him, and what we want to bring before him. So, when we pray, should we pray exactly like Matthew 6? Should we pray exactly like our Father in heaven that Jesus gives? Well, I think that if we look even at some prayers that are easily seen in Scripture, that yeah, it kind of is a base for even Jesus' prayers. If you have a Bible and you want to open it up with me, I'm going to go to John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. John 17, verses 20 through 26. My prayer, this is Jesus speaking, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. There's that family idea. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. There's the idea of heaven. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. There's the honor and the respect of God's name and who he is. As Jesus is preparing for his crucifixion, he is following the same pattern that he gives to the disciples when he tells them how to pray. He uses different words, but it's the same formula. Our prayer life needs to be one of respect. It needs to be one of adoration and love. And it needs to be one that acknowledges that God knows what is best, but he still wants to hear our desires and our dreams. Let's continue with the idea of being able to see prayer working in Scripture. We're going to jump to the Psalms. Psalm 145. Now, David didn't have the benefit of knowing Jesus' teaching on prayer. He didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. He knew God. He respected God. And because of that, this is the kind of prayer that was produced by David. I will exalt you, O my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Going into verse 14. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Boy, for somebody who didn't have a Bible, who didn't have Jesus' teachings to follow, David hit every point that's there. I hope that by the time we finish this series, that we finish going through the Lord's Prayer, that you will have a richer prayer life than you have now. I pray that each of you already has a deep prayer life, but that you will take these lessons, that you will take time to delve even deeper, to find ways that you too can strengthen that relationship with Jesus and find ways to improve that prayer life that you already have. Now, we're going to hear this over and over and over. It's not a template. It's a template. It's not a rote, memorized prayer. It's a recipe. Use your own spices. Sohan is going to have a lot different spices in his recipe than I do. The wonderful thing is that we can enjoy each of them. I love, Jamal, I'm sorry, but I love it when you pray. Find a way to pray that you feel a connection to God, that allows you to praise Him, that allows you to honor Him, and that allows you to find that inner peace that only He can bring to you. Acknowledge that power that He has. Acknowledge that He alone is God. And acknowledge that He is our Father and Creator. As a family, we have the ability to come together and pray. We have the opportunity to worship together on a weekly basis, more often if we choose to. If you aren't a part of Christ's family, if you're still searching, like David was the first time that I met him, make that choice to join Christ's family. We want you to be a brother or sister if you are not already part of this family. We want to share with you the joy that comes with walking in His steps. If you're a member of this body already and you are hurting, if you need someone to come alongside of you and help you, we need to know that. Know that I'm already praying for you, but unless you share the burdens, that I can't do anything more than pray. So as we stand together and sing this next song, if you have a need, if you are hurting, if you are still broken, come and let me know. Let the elders know. We want to pray with you. We want to lift you up. We want you to be whole and to be God's child.